Good morning, church. So good to be back with you. I thank you for your prayers while we were gone. You have another getting report to do this month again. I'll be going September 20th again. But it's something I enjoy doing, something that is just a part of my heart. So continue to bear with me as I go out for the Gideons to report what God is doing through them around the world. So, I've entitled the lesson today, if I can find my... There it is up front. Delight yourself in the Word. You can put just about anything you want there. You could even put delight yourself in the Lord. You want to write it that way. The Word of God has become very precious to me. And I'd just like to share. I've probably shared some of these verses with you before. I may have used somewhat of a title like this before because it does mean a lot to me. And God wants each of you to enjoy the time that you spend in His Word. To just learn to love it, to learn to love the time that you spend with Him. To me, it's the best part of the day. Didn't used to be, I'll just tell you that. I was a Christian for quite a few years before I really learned to love the time in the Word, before I learned to love the intimate time that I have with the Father every day. And what got me interested in this is a verse in Psalms 119, verse 103. It says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." I like honey. Some of you probably don't. Patsy has an allergy to honey, so she can't eat honey. But I love honey. I love sweetened things with honey. I like it. I like the way it tastes. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But Jeremiah 15:16 says, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty." And we bear the name of our Father. We bear the name Christians, so Christ is part of our name as Christians. We do bear His name, and so... do we delight ourselves in Him? Is that our heart's delight, to spend time with Him? If you would pray with me before I get into the message. Father, I thank you today for each one that you have brought out today to hear your word, Father, to hear what you're saying to the church, to, Father, just to come together to share in this time. Lord, I'd love to be here with the church. Thank you for each one that you prompted to get up and make time for you today and for the body of Christ. So Lord, as we share together this morning, I just pray, Father, that I'll not get in your way, but that I'll allow you to say what you want this morning to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. So God knew last week even how many of us would be here this morning, which ones of us would be here and which ones wouldn't. And so from the smallest, the youngest, to the oldest today, He wants to speak to each one of you. Sometimes I feel like the message I have is just for me. Today I know it's for everyone. I know it's for all of you. So as He says in Revelation, "He who has an ear, let him hear what Jesus says to the church." Today we're going to begin in John chapter 1. This is pretty exciting. When I was talking about thinking about the Word, and He told me to begin in John chapter 1, I thought, what in the world are we doing there with this one? And it begins in chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning. So the Word is Jesus. you think about this, is Jesus, okay? So every day when I get up, I get to spend time with Jesus. I get to start my day with Him every morning. If I choose to every morning, if I wake up late, sometimes I'll turn the alarm off and go right back to sleep. And I don't have time in the morning, I make sure I take time in the evening. Because I want to spend time with Jesus every day. So this, when you think about this is Jesus, it makes it come alive. Jesus is alive. You know, our spiritual lives are by faith. We live by faith. We believe that Jesus is alive, that He is. And this verse right here tells me that He is the Word. It says the Word became flesh, down in verse 14. And made His dwelling among us. So He's real. Hallelujah. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for Jesus to come. They were looking for the Word or for somebody to come to be the Messiah, to be the Savior of the world, but they didn't recognize Him when He came. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. And this is talking about the Jewish people. That was the sect that He grew up in, that He grew up as a Jew and lived that way, but they didn't receive Him, it says. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. So we're children born of God. We're here because of Him. He's our dad. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, according to this verse here, the word is truth. It said we don't have to wonder if it's real or true, because it is. The Word of God tells us that it is. I've seen a lot of things that testify to that fact. And that sun pop that Jamie was talking about this morning is one of those things, that God is real. I want to begin back in Deuteronomy then, working our way through scriptures that talk about our love of the Word, spending time in the Word. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this is right after Moses gave the Ten Commandments. If you look over on the page right beside it, the Ten Commandments are there. If I can find Deuteronomy, that will be my next. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I think we're going to begin in verse 1. So Moses has just come down the mountain. He spent some time with God. Probably his face was shining, as I've told you before. When he spent time with the Father, his face shone. He glowed when he came back. And people couldn't stand to look at him because he glowed. So anyway, he's back down. He brought the Ten Commandments with him on the table, tablets of stone, and he's already told them the Ten Commandments, and if you will, just back up to verse 32 of chapter 5. Let's begin there. It says, "So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess." Now, if you'll notice, in the scriptures that we've chosen today, a lot of different terms are used for the Word of God. Just right in those verses, there's maybe three or four. He talked about his commands. Decrees, laws, and you'll see a lot more of them as we get into the Psalms. There's just a lot of words that describe the Word of God, and all of these terms are part of it. "So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you." So, spending time in the Word, learning the decrees, commands, laws, whatever you want to call them, says is going to lengthen your life, give you longer days, so more time here on the earth, if you will, and eternity without knowing him, we can't live eternally. That's just, if you don't know Christ, if you don't believe in God, you can't. You're not going to spend eternity with Him. So, "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land. Hear, O..." Oh, I'm in four now. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He is the only God," is what that means. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." So, looking at that verse, there's really no time that we shouldn't be teaching our children, talking to them about the Lord, who He is, and what He's done, giving our testimony. "Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So, God's Word is important. It was important to the children of Israel when they came into the Promised Land, and it's important to us today as we spend our day with Him, getting involved in what He's doing in our daily lives. Now let's turn to Psalms chapter 19. Talking about the Word of God, there's so many scriptures, descriptive scriptures that talk about the Word and how important it is for us. And in Psalms 19, we want to look at verses 7 through 14. These verses is actually a song. It's been a long time since, you remember these verses that we sang? We used to sing them as a scripture song in the church we came from. And as I've told you before, I can memorize scripture through song a lot easier than I can if I just look at the words. But this is talking about, first of all, and this is one of the places where I want you to pay attention to how many different descriptive words there are for the Word of God. Verse 7, the first one says, the law of the Lord is perfect. So His law is perfect. It revives our soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. So, statutes is another one. And they make the wise simple. Or the, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. And the fear of the Lord is reverence. It's not really being afraid of Him, but revering Him or reverencing the Father. It is the fear of the Lord, but in this place, it's reverence to Him. So think about that when you're thinking of the fear of the Lord. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. I really have trouble relating to gold because we don't see much gold here where we are. It's not something that you just find in the creeks around. I mean, some people have found gold, but we don't really look for gold and find gold much. So it's a little hard to realize how rich gold is, how would they purify it and refine it. So the rest of that verse says they are sweeter than honey from the comb, and that one means something to me because I like honey. So I'm able to understand that God's word is more precious. And in Proverbs, I'm reading Proverbs in my daily devotions right now, and Solomon talks about it being wisdom being more precious than anything else. So sell all you have to get wisdom, he talks about. When you look at the Word of God that way, it makes us wise. So it's worth more than gold or better than honey. Verse 11 says, by them is your servant warned, so it warns us, keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now, this is a verse that I have memorized from my youth, so it's one that I remember and know by heart. But it's one that we see David, the psalmist, saying very often. He said, Lord, keep my words pure. Make the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart pleasing in your sight. And then he calls his Father my rock, my redeemer. Now let's go back to Psalms 119. And as I started with Psalms 119, 103, I came across a thing in my I have a little daily devotional book that I use, and it's titled Sweeter Than Honey, and it says, while excavating ancient Egyptian tombs, archaeologists often find pots of honey. Remove the seal and the golden honey looks brand new. Dip in a spoon and it tastes absolutely fresh. And I don't have any idea, it doesn't say here, have any idea how long these pots of honey were left in the tombs. And maybe they don't know either. But it's been hundreds of years that this honey was there sealed up. And when they open it up, it tastes fresh. It tastes like new honey. And it is. The Smithsonian Institute says sealed pure honey has an eternal shelf life. So it'll last as long as it's there. It's sealed. And I had to think about that as the Word of God, too. The Word of God is eternal. It will last forever as well. It doesn't change. And in fact, in Revelation, it tells us not to try to change any of it. It's all God's Word. It's all what He's given us to pattern our lives after. And I think nowadays that some of them are trying to change the Word of God so it fits their lifestyle, what they want to hear. And that's not going to be a good thing. Because God tells us not to change His Word, not to change one jot or tittle, it says in Revelation. I didn't go and look up that verse, but you can find it there. So God's Word is to be desired more than anything else that you delight in. And in talking about God's Word, there's probably no place besides Psalms 119 that talks more about the Word of God than any other chapter in the Bible. And just let's go back to the beginning of it, and at verses 9 through 16. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It takes probably 25 minutes to read all of Psalms 119 because it's 176 verses long. There's a lot of verses here. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. But the second, and these Psalms 119, I think, is a song because it's there's titles above each section of it. Is that why there is? It's a song? Oh, it's the Hebrew alphabet. Okay. Okay. So Beth, the second part, is Aleph is the first part. The second part is Beth. And it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Those eight verses really, really sum up God's word and how important it is to us. Psalms 119, it says, just a quick summary. Almost every verse of Psalms 119 talks about God's word, the Bible. It says God's word is true, righteous, and eternal. It's wonderful, good, and pure. It never changes, disappears, or grows out of date. It remains the same all the time. 30 times Psalms 119 urges you to obey God's word, to observe it, to keep it with all your heart until the end of your life. 30 times in just one chapter. 20 times you're told to remember God's word and to meditate on it. 20 more times it urges you to love God's word and delight in it. And that's why the title that I had for today says, Delight Yourself in the Word. 10 times it commands you to long after God's Word and wait for it. 15 times Psalms 119 exhorts you to live a pure life. And 3 times it warns you not to wander off the path of life. Best of all, Psalms Psalms 119 richly describes God himself as righteous, loving, and kind, and your master and savior. So take time, maybe even this afternoon, just to read through all of Psalms 119. It's just good stuff. It's excellent. And it'll thrill your heart. It'll delight your heart to read Psalms 119. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. I just want to finish up with a couple of New Testament verses here that are talking about God's Word. This one, 2 Timothy, this will be an easy one for you to remember because John 3:16 and 2 Timothy 3:16, it's the same last numbers there. So just go there with me. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, as we learned in John this morning, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that tells me that the Word is alive. It's not something that's just ink on pages, but it's alive. It speaks to us as we spend time in it. It speaks to us. It talks to us. And so it's God. It's all God breathed. It's not. Even though these are all letters from Paul here, it's letters that God gave him to write to the churches, to Timothy. This was to Timothy, telling Timothy that all Scripture is God breathed. It's by him and for us. And then Hebrews 4:12 is the one that talks about the Word of God is living and active. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So another verse that tells us it's alive, it's real. So as you go about your lives this week, make sure that you allow a little time every day to spend time in the Word, to spend time with Jesus, just to share a quiet time with Him. Listen to what he's saying. He'll speak to you. In a still small voice, he'll speak to you through the Word of God. I've had many conversations with him while I'm spending time in the Word. And it's just a good way to share with him. So delight yourself in spending time in his Word, sharing that time every day with him. Worship leaders come share a song with us. If any of you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, you'd like to do that this morning, I urge you to come pray with us. If you have anything at all that you'd like us to pray with you about, come. If any of you need healing,